Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Like this throw right here. It's Adams again! The connection and the touchdown! 73 yards!
Be violent. Go get it. Don't let nothing stop you. Gotta fight for everything.
It's Hogan Johns.
It's really cool just to see how much the city of Chicago, you know, the Bears organization, the Bears fans, show love to a family that they barely even know. It is amazing. I love it.
From NBC Sports Chicago, it's Adam Ho.
There's no ducking anybody in the NFL. No. It's like the Lions still have NFL players.
And from the Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
You know, hasn't Justin Fields done enough to at least pique your interest to see what he can do with them too?
It's the Adams.
That's the best in the city of Chicago.
Hogan Johns.
The Adams converge.
And we are underway.
This podcast is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together with the best live and on-demand. Learn more at DirecTV.com. What's up? Welcome in. Hogan Johns with you. It is Tom Brady week. The Bears heading down to Tampa, where they are 12.5-point underdogs.
We've been to Tampa so much, haven't we?
Yes, I like going to Tampa.
I do like going to Tampa. We'll break down the game here with Greg Allman a little bit, but I don't feel good about it, Adam. Feel good about going to Tampa, going to Florida, where it's 85 and sunny.
Well, that's going to do it for our preview podcast. Johns has made his prediction and made it very clear where he's leaning, so we will just talk to you after the game.
All right, see ya.
No, welcome in. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoag, at Adam Johns. It's been an interesting week on Twitter. There's been lots to throw out there and discuss, with some of which we're going to bring to you right here on the podcast momentarily. Johns mentioned it. Greg Allman from The Athletic, he covers the Bucks, will join us shortly for our weekly preview with the opponent. We'll make the picks. I think you can already tell where we're going on this one, but that's all right. There's still plenty to discuss. A little bit of drama this week. Some distractions, I feel like. And Hallis Hall that we need to address. Please check out our YouTube page. You can watch us if you'd like on YouTube. Subscribe, hit the notifications. We appreciate you doing that. Our great producer, Kent Garrison, does a tremendous job getting the video up every week and making sure we sound good, which is not easy. So we appreciate Kent as well. All right, Johnsy, let's start with some of the drama.
Okay.
Might as well just go into it with Tom Brady. How about that? So, if you haven't heard, the new owner of the Chicago Bears, it's a big story this week because the McCaskey family sold the Bears to Aaron Rodgers. I know everybody's been waiting for the Bears to be sold for a long time. Aaron Rodgers turns out to be the buyer, and he now owns the franchise, which is a little awkward since he still plays quarterback for the Packers. If only he played for the Bears. So, that's a thing. And Tom Brady does a weekly radio show with Jim Gray. He's actually been doing these for a long time. And the more he's opened up over the years, he's become more entertaining with a bunch of stuff. But this was a conversation he had yesterday with Jim Gray. Tom Brady, Jim Gray on SiriusXM, where he brought the Bears into the conversation.
You know, I was studying a little bit on the Bears and the Packers and watched a lot of that. That was another great game. And I actually, before we get started, I wanted to say congrats to Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, not only is he a great quarterback, but I guess he's now a shareholder of the Bears. He was, you know, I saw a clip of him really enthusiastically telling the crowd how happy he is to own Soldier Field. And it's really great stuff. He owns the Bucks now, part owner of Soldier Field. So he's got a great career beyond football.
That's the Milwaukee Bucks, by the way. And he is a shareholder of the Milwaukee Bucks. Not a real shareholder of the Bears, obviously. But, you know, this thing's gotten a little out of hand. You know, it's one thing to have one goat come in your building and then just announce to everybody. And by the way, remind me, I have a little thing on taunting I need to bring up here. But now you have the real goat in Tom Brady just sort of rubbing it in before a game too. Like, this is very unlike Tom Brady. Tom Brady's changed a little bit over the last couple of years, I feel like, but he's still not one to provide bulletin board material. And if I'm on the Bears, I'm already pissed about what Aaron Rodgers did the other day, even though it was pretty badass. Now you got this week's opponent rubbing it in. Who do you think's most upset about this, Johnson?
Well, it's the McCaskey family. Okay. That's who I would go with. I put that on Twitter, said nothing enrages them more than losses to the Packers, and now you have Aaron Rodgers' comments. And a bunch of people on Twitter are like, well, so what? They don't care. I'm like, no, they really do care, everybody. And yes, they've tried to do things about it, but the things they've done about it just haven't worked. Lots of changes, no answers, and here we are, Aaron Rodgers making his comments. That's going to have legs, man. Legs. Beyond this week, beyond Tom Brady providing, I don't know if it's bulletin board material for the Bears. They got a lot of other things going on. Like, guys are injured, guys aren't practicing, guys are posting their fine notices on Instagram. Like, there's a lot of other things going on at Hallis Hall beyond studying Tom Brady. And you know what? If you don't like it, stop it. No one else has stopped Tom Brady yet this year, but we'll see.
But I think if, and where you're going, I'm going in the same area as you are here on this, like, these things are starting to add up a little bit this week, it feels like. Okay, one, you have the COVID stuff, which I don't know. It's unfortunately, like, it's just still going to happen. We still are in a pandemic, and I don't necessarily think there's any blame to go around there, other than if some of the players aren't vaccinated, and that's a different story. But, you know, it's still a distraction either way. I don't think there's anybody to blame, but it's there. It's part of the equation of what's going on right now. Then you have the Aaron Rodgers stuff, which I agree with you. Like, it's one thing to lose to the Packers, then to have Rodgers rub it in your face, and then now have Tom Brady also rub it in your face. That can't sit well right now with ownership. Then you got this, like, I don't know how big of a deal this is. Jalen Johnson posting his fine on Instagram. It, you know, you could go a few ways with this. It could just be a young player making a mistake. First of all, let's go to the idea of fining him. I don't know why this is getting turned in and twisted and like, oh, Matt Nagy needs to go because he's fining Jalen Johnson for being late. All right, you could ask any NFL player. And the NFL players, the ex-NFL players I work with at Carmel are constantly on top of our players whenever they're late. And Rashid Davis will tell you he was late one time, and he'll tell you the story of why he's never been, was never late again in the NFL. Okay, it's well known in the NFL you don't show up late. Should be 15 minutes early, quite frankly. All right, you don't show up late. And when you don't, when you do show up late, you get fined for it. It's pretty common, and any coach is going to do it. And honestly, with the technology they now have at Hallis Hall with like their fingerprints getting in the building, like it's probably something that's just automatically generated. Like, oh, you're a minute late. I don't think Matt Nagy sat there on his computer writing up that letter. All right. It got automatically printed out, most likely placed on his desk for him to sign. And I don't think it's a much bigger deal than that. The bigger story is that Jalen Johnson then put it on Instagram and complained about it. Now, this is where it could potentially become a problem, and we don't know the details. He doesn't really have a right to complain unless, are there other players getting away with being late? I don't know. But if there are, then I could see why he'd be upset about that.
I would speculate this isn't an isolated incident either.
You know, with like, him?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, there had to be warnings. I mean, like, 1 minute, look, things come up, right? Things do come up. Like, guys are late for different reasons. But to have this fine come out the way it did, I don't know. I'm just speculating here. I would imagine there's other things that preceded this, right? Like, you just don't fine a guy immediately right away. There's usually warnings. There's usually messages and conversations with coaches. Now, there's definitely a new conversation with Matt Nagy. I'm sure that was had yesterday.
Well, I would have fined him again.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. But here, here's where it potentially becomes a bigger issue, maybe. Like, is there a lack of respect there for your coach when you get fined and then you're going to go blast it to the world?
Yeah.
That's the part I find a little concerning.
Not even having regrets about it. It wasn't one of those like emotional, I put it out there, I was mad, I tweeted it. Oh, crap, it's not right, I'll delete it. No, it was up there for a while.
Yeah, I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world. It's one more thing that if you're, again, the owners who are mad about losing to the Packers this week and you got all these things start to pile up, I mean, it's certainly something that comes across your desk and you're like, well, I don't like this. And it's also unlike Jalen Johnson, although I don't want to pretend like we know these young players. We haven't really gotten to know them at all the last 2 years with the way the media situation is and COVID and all that. But this is certainly a player that I'm surprised that this happened with. Does that make sense?
We don't know. I guess that's one of those things is you don't really know until you know, right? Like, now he's an outstanding player who's having an outstanding second season. I would argue that he had shut down Davante Adams for a period of time on Sunday. Had an outstanding performance. If you just look at the numbers, the targets, he had a great game. Great game. So even if there's things going on off field, it hasn't affected his performance on it, but this is now a thing.
I will quibble with you a little bit. I think he had an okay, good game. Because,
well, I'd take an okay, good game against that receiver.
Sure. No, but that's what I was going to say.
Who's had okay, bad games against that receiver.
That's what I was going to say. It before the 41-yarder towards the end of the game, he had held him like three catches and 48 yards, I want to say. You take that against Davante Adams, especially when the guy's accounting for more than 70% of the Packers' total offense. Like, that's a good game. The problem is the 41-yarder still happened, and multiple people have actually just come out and flat-out said that Jalen would like to have that play back. And on top of it, I don't know if you noticed this, he was jogging after he let Adams go by. And if he had not stepped out...
Yeah, that's a bad look. That's a bad
if
look.
He had not stepped out of bounds, it would not have just been Eddie Jackson looking bad for not making the tackle. Because he easily could have recovered and helped make the tackle. I'm talking about Jalen Johnson now. And he just jogged after the play and kind of quit on it. So, that's a bad look, and that's a double negative play. Like, that's one where I'm scoring it. I'm giving you two negatives on the play. You got beat, which happens, but then you loafed after it. And that's why I sometimes wonder about the accountability on this team. Like, how much does that hurt you? Like, that's the stuff to me that almost matters more. You get beat by Davante Adams, fine, it's going to happen. But you loaf after the play, that would bother me even more.
Well, what stands out, since we're talking about this specifically now, was just last week where the Bears were praising Robert Quinn for his pursuit of a ball carrier. Was he not? Against the Raiders?
Good point, yes.
For attacking, mm-hmm. not giving up on the play, relentless pursuit, all those things that Sean Desai is obviously preaching and Matt Nagy is fully aware of. Robert Quinn was praised for that. This is the direct opposite of that relentless pursuit. Like, you use the word loafing as an example of loafing, not relentless pursuit, which is obviously a message from the Bears defensive coordinator.
And I want to bring up one more quick play, because there was a play where Khalil Mack did the same thing that Robert Quinn did last week with his pursuit from behind and helped make the tackle. But it was a play where Eddie Jackson comes up to make the tackle and ends up getting driven backwards 10 yards. And the only reason he got him down was because Khalil Mack came from the line of scrimmage running 20 yards, probably more than 20 yards down the field to help bring him down. The safeties right now are a problem, dude. Both of them missing tackles, not playing well enough. It's very concerning, honestly.
Jalen Johnson had been that bright spot in that secondary. And now you have this conversation, this issue for him this week.
Yeah. So, just another distraction. And I just wonder and sort of worry. You lose a big one against the Bucks, because this is a game that could get out of hand, if we're being honest. What what starts to happen next week. I still actually think this team's decent. Like, I think that they can, I think this is going to be a season where there are a lot of, as you like to say, ebbs and flows. But the flow right now is, it might be.
Well, you're flowing into your worst matchup of the season.
Yes, that's a good way to put
it. You're in the ebb of a tough run of games here, are you not? So
yes. All right, well, speaking of the matchup, let's dive into it. Greg Allman covers the Buccaneers for The Athletic, does a really good job, and we bring him into the podcast right now to talk about Tom Brady's team. Greg, I want to start you off with a question that's actually a little bit more on the personal side, to be honest with you. But I'm just curious, because we were both, before last year, I think everybody here on this podcast was covering a team. I was sort of stuck in the mud, right? You know, you can't really figure it out. Not making the playoffs too often. Struggling overall. And then Tom Brady's on the market. And I think the Bears kicked the tires a little bit, but clearly weren't as serious as the Bucs were. I don't think Brady was as serious about going to Chicago as he was going to Tampa. He lands in Tampa. Everything changes. So I'm just curious, Greg, what was it like going from covering the Bucs pre-Tom Brady to covering the Bucs with Tom Brady, and then all of a sudden covering a Super Bowl victory?
Yeah, just a little bit different. I mean, I was on the beat. I started full-time on the beat in 13, and obviously had covered one team with a winning record in my first, whatever, seven seasons, I guess. Really no playoff contention to speak of, anything like that, except for the 1 year. So, yeah, it's, you know, as you would expect with Tom Brady, it changes things in a way no one else in this league could, both in terms of just the wins on the field, obviously, but also just the relevance, just the casual people caring about your team in other countries, in other continents. Everybody knows who Tom Brady is. So you have that awareness that a team that had no relevance beyond its market for so many years is now everywhere. And you get that with Gronk, and you get that with players like Antonio Brown too. But yeah, Brady changes everything. That anything you can think about with the team is different because he's here.
I feel like you're covering a new version of Tom Brady too. It's like we just played his soundbite where he's referencing what Aaron Rodgers said, the own it. You know, Aaron Rodgers apparently owns the Bears. I don't know if you've heard, you know. that's the new thing. But, like, what do you make of that? Like, what do you make of what he said? And then what do you make of, like, this new outgoing Tom Brady who now says things that right. go viral, like, almost every week?
No, it's amazing. And, it's again, you feel bad because, I mean, there's people that covered him in New England for two decades and never saw this. You know, saw what we all thought was, you know, Tom Brady, very measured, very careful, like his head coach, not really saying much of anything at all. And now we get, here in Tampa, we get like a Tom Brady that's cracking jokes on social media. He's going on late night shows and joking with the president about political things. There's very little he won't say right now. I mean, he's not completely unfiltered, but it's been really neat to see him kind of embrace a little bit of the, again, the laid back spirit of his head coach here. Kind of Florida in general. And yeah, he's jokey, dad joke, Tom Brady, and definitely, you know, just appreciating things a little more and taking things lighter than what we saw, even when he was completely surrounded by perennial success in New England.
You can follow Greg on Twitter at Greg Allman. That's spelled A-U-M-A-N. He's the co-author of Champa Bay, which you can get now from Triumph Books. Greg, the way the game last year ended between the Bears and the Bucs, with Tom Brady forgetting what down it was, which is just like, honestly, for a guy who's had so few bad moments in his career on the football field, that's on the list, right? So,
right.
Is that something that's coming up this week? Is that something that you think? Tom Brady seems like the type of guy to me that, like, will not forget that himself and use it as motivation going yeah. forward, because it's like, it's the same thing with MJ in this town. You know, if Jordan did something like that ever, I could just see it just eating at him for like the rest of his career, and him turning that into like seven more championships just because.
Yeah. And it doesn't even take that much to give Tom Brady this, extra gear that he has, this motivation to go beyond just normal pissed off, I lost a game kind of thing. And it was neat. I mean, last year was funny. Last year after the Bears game, everybody saw him befuddled and holding up the fingers, and it's been such a meme and everything. And like after the game, he kind of was in denial and was like, no, I was just thinking too much about chunks and picking up yards, but like insisted that he knew it was fourth down. And Bruce Arians smartly rushed to his defense that, oh, of course Tom knew what down it was. And now kind of Super Bowl aftermath, he's kind of fessed up. They're like, yeah, no, I completely lost track of things. I think Mike Evans even said that he thought one of the down markers on one side had said fourth down by mistake or something like that. So, yeah, but Tom, to his credit, has just kind of owned it. That, yeah, he just – and he jokes about having senior moments because he is 44 now, but it's one of those rare times where at the end of the game where he's the absolute guy you'd want to have to lead a drive down the field to win, he didn't even remember that it was fourth down. So, yeah, that'll be something where I don't know that it'll come to the same situation Sunday in Tampa, but if it did, I would think he's going to be careful to check the down and distance each time.
With the benefit of hindsight and lots of it, what did that loss to the Bears do for the Buccaneers? For the Bears, that was like the high point of their season, because not too long after that, it was a tailspin. Six-game losing streak was right around the corner, but for the Buccaneers, what did that loss, the Khalil Mack game and all the, you know, the suplex and all that stuff, what did that do for the Buccaneers?
Yeah, I think it was absolutely one of the defining wake-up calls in them kind of getting to where they are. Obviously, they still struggle. They still dropped 3 out of 4 at one point after this game. But I think from, at least from like a team discipline standpoint, it was rock bottom. You saw Tom Brady just visibly pissed on the sidelines, going off on his offensive linemen. They had that one drive. I'm actually writing about this today, so it's kind of fresh in my mind. But they had this drive in the third quarter where they had 5 penalties on their offense in the drive. It's like they open up with a hold and an OPI, and it's 1st and 30. And they almost get out of that because Khalil Mack, in sacking Tom Brady, gets a roughing the passer call. But they managed to negate that with a hold, so it offsets. And then they had another unnecessary roughness where it's like 2nd and 34 as they're clinging to a 2-point lead. And they had another penalty that was so bad it was even declined on that drive. And then even late, I think they had like a roughing the passer on the Bucs defense that contributed to the Bears being able to run off like 2 minutes of clock late. So what's wild is that they completely flipped a switch with penalties. They were like the worst team in the NFL with penalties, 80 yards a game after this point, after the Bears game last year, after 5 games. And then somehow from that point on, they were the best team in the league on penalties. And they cut it down to like 28 yards a game in penalties. The fewest penalties, the fewest penalty yards in the NFL the rest of the way. And that carried over into the Super Bowl, into the playoffs. I mean, they only had 33 yards of penalties per game in the playoffs. And what's funny is that they've actually now reverted back to early last year, and they now lead the NFL in penalties again and are 2nd in penalty yards, all that kind of stuff, having all kinds of issues with flags. So I'm curious to see whether just going up against the Bears again and reliving the nightmare that was that game last year, we'll kind of have that same scared straight effect and get them out of their penalty funk this year.
You know, Greg, the matchup as a whole doesn't look that even, but on the side of the ball where Tom Brady is going to be out there with that great offense and all those weapons going against a pretty good Bears defense. I mean, the Bears defense is still pretty good. Like that side should be fun to watch. How do you see that playing out? And is there even a way to slow down the offense right now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
There is. No, there is. I mean, like Bruce Arians made a point to say yesterday, he thinks this is, with the Rams, one of the best defenses they'll face. He actually stopped himself and said, also the Saints. Like, they have the Saints next week. He didn't want to, like, immediately set off his next opponent. But, I mean, he said that he expects this to be one of the best defenses they face. And last year, and there weren't that many moments where the Bucs got rattled offensively. Like, Tristan Wirfs, their rookie tackle, looked just invincible for most of last year. But Khalil Mack destroyed him. I mean, Khalil Mack picked him up and threw him on the ground like a rag doll after a sack. So I think there's a vulnerability in that they probably have to help to make this a game. They have to commit multiple turnovers. They have to have the kind of penalty issues they've had. This is still a fairly depleted defense. I mean, their top two corners are on IR right now. I don't think they'll have Lavonte David, who's a huge part of the middle of their defense. Antoine Winfield is still in concussion protocol. Jason Pierre-Paul has played, but is kind of a shell of himself right now. So there's definitely a window where, again, if the Bears play well, if they clamp things down defensively, this could be another, whatever it was, 2019, 1917 game. But I do think that the Bucs would have to kind of be complicit in that. They'd have to have turnovers like they did last year. But again, that's something they're capable of. I think they win this game, but I definitely think they're capable of stumbling the same way they did last year.
I think the question here is, the follow-up is, can the Bears score points? Because we heard the Packers' right. defense was depleted last week. The Bears didn't score enough. It's whether or not they could keep up, right, with the yeah. three wide receivers Brady has. Leonard Fournette, productive again. So I'm not going to quite ask you for your pick here, Greg. I think we're all leaning towards the Buccaneers. I think the question I have for you is, well, can the Bears keep up, and can they cover that 12.5 spread?
Right. Yeah, it was funny. I was just reading our picks preview of the week, and they picked the Bears to cover. Again, it's 12.5, so it's a big number to cover. I think I'm curious to see how the injury situation shakes out for Chicago, in that obviously having Quinn on COVID is a big deal. I think right now, like Hicks, Mack, and even somebody else up front didn't practice yesterday. So if any of those guys are gone, that certainly takes the edge off that defensive run. But I do think, you know, I think in Justin Fields, they see a little bit of what they had in their last game in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts, in a young quarterback, tough to bring down, mobile. They've been saying they think Fields is faster than Hurts. They think he's more of a threat and more elusive a runner than Hurts was. And Hurts is like second in the NFL in rushing for quarterbacks. So I think there's definitely an awareness of needing to contain Fields. I don't think their secondary is as big a concern as it was. I mean, they were really depleted. They'll be basically down at least three of their top five for this game. Richard Sherman, who comes back and is kind of their fill-in starter, he's going to miss the game. He's got a hamstring. So essentially it's down four bodies right now. And I think if the Bears had a little bit more receiver depth, a little more downfield presence, they could test that a lot more. Right now, I see the sheer number of sacks that Chicago has given up, and I think that's probably a real vulnerability. That's somewhere where the Shaq Barretts and the Vita Veas and even the Joe Tryon Chiyinka, the rookie here, I think they're going to be licking their chops trying to get a quarterback, a young quarterback that might not know how to handle multiple exotic defensive looks and those kind of things. They might be able to have a good day sack-wise.
Yeah, I think that is perfectly reasonable. To look at it that way. Greg, thanks so much for your time. We always appreciate you coming on with us and breaking things down, and we will see you on Sunday in Tampa.
Awesome, guys. Safe travels. Look forward to seeing you and having the game on Sunday. Thanks again.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, there he is, Greg Allman, who covers the Bucs for The Athletic.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, if you're like me, an outfit, good or bad, can impact your entire day. Wearing a starchy shirt, that just doesn't feel good. You're not comfortable. It's hard to look good and feel good at the same time. But that's where Roan comes in, because men's closets were due for a radical reinvention, and Roan stepped up to the challenge. Roan's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, and truly versatile set of products known to man. They have products for every occasion. We're talking about the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, polos, blazers. They look great as individual pieces that work seamlessly together. Roan's signature four-way stretch fabric is breathable, flexible, and works everywhere, from your commute to work to even the 19th hole. It's time for unparalleled confidence without all the hassle. My favorite Roan shirt is this white dress shirt. Looks like a dress shirt, but it also looks casual at the same time. It's got anti-odor technology. They call it Gold Fusion. And it doesn't get wrinkled. It stays fresh and clean all day long. No lingering odors or anything like that. The Commuter Collection is easy to care for while staying fresh and odor-free. The Commuter Collection can get you through any workday, straight to whatever comes next. Head to roan.com/Adam. Use promo code Adam to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to Roan. That's rhone.com/Adam. Use code Adam. It is time to find your corner office comfort.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, our preview of the Bears-Bucks game rolls on. We go from Greg Allman to a similarly, outstanding athletic writer. Kevin Fishbane joins the podcast now. I was going to intro you that way, did you?
I was pausing and thinking about all the ways he could have gone with that one. But,
He was waiting for the burn.
Yep.
No, I'm feeling good on this Thursday. I don't know why. Maybe it's because the Bulls got a nice win last night.
Bulls did look kind of good, especially.
They're fun. I mean, they shouldn't have been losing to the Pistons, probably, but I still enjoyed it.
First game of the season. Zach LaVine played outstanding.
I felt a little bad for friend of the pod, Adam Amin, because there were a few plays in that fourth quarter where like they were about to put it away, and you could tell like in his voice. Like he was ready for the dagger, and
he's trying to go Wayne Larrivee dagger.
Yeah, they just could. They had so many shots that rimmed in and out, and the Pistons were able to work their way back in. Adam means he's the best though. It was fun to. It's fun to have an intriguing Bulls team.
Yeah, well, thanks to Kevin Fishbane for joining us to talk about the Bulls today. Hope you have a good rest of your day. And any thoughts on Northwestern before you leave?
It's Northwestern Michigan week.
Oh, yes.
In the big house.
Now you could stick around and talk about the Bears, too. We gave you the big task of doing our three big questions again.
I have them ready.
You must have done a really good job. Or, again, Johns is just trying to get out of doing them and handing them off to you.
Both could be true.
Take some time. I put some effort into it.
Okay. Let's hear it. Let's go. You have to deliver your big voice, which...
Question one.
I don't know if we call that a big voice or voice it is, but...
Go back to your regular voice.
No one has rushed for more than 67 yards against the Buccaneers this season, and that was Sony Michel, who averaged 3.35 yards per carry. Michel's the only running back with more than 11 carries against the Bucs. How should that impact the Bears' game plan? Should they keep trying to hand it off to Khalil Herbert, maybe throw in some Justin Fields design runs, throw it 40 times... We've seen usually what Matt Nagy does when he faces a defense that stops the run. He just stops running the ball. What do you think they should do on Sunday?
Well, it was the second number you brought up that actually I think was more important They only tried to run 11 times. That's the most against the Bucs this year.
Yeah, Sony Michel, I think, had maybe 19 carries. He's the only running back with more than 11 carries against the Bucs all season.
Well, going back to the 11 number, the Bears have to run the ball more than 11 times. Like, even if it's not working, they have to do that. I feel very strongly about this. Even if the yards per carry average is not high, like, you have to help Justin Fields out by at least giving the Bucs the threat of the run. And part of this, look, I'm not taking anything away from what the Bucs have done. They are very good rushing defense. There's absolutely no debate about that. But part of why their numbers are so low is because nobody's even trying to run against them. So you have to try. You have to come up and challenge your offensive linemen to be the team that has some success. I'm not expecting them to go off and like run for 200 yards by any means, but you have to continue to run the ball. If you ask Justin Fields to drop back and throw the ball 40 times, I don't think you have a chance in this game.
Well, just hearing what Greg said about the injuries for the Buccaneers, I think the Bears are able to move the ball at least a little bit against the Buccaneers on the run. You know for darn sure they're going to try. There'll be more than 11 carries for Khalil Herbert. He may break a 10-yarder here or there, but they'll, like, what was the first stat, 67 yards? I would say their running backs, or Herbert specifically, will hit the over on that. But maybe only by like 75, 78 yards in this, but you know the Bears are going to try.
Do you guys know that today, October 21st, is the 2-year anniversary of Matt Nagy's famous, "I know we need to run the ball, I'm not an idiot"?
Ooh,
that was coming off that
Chargers
Saints loss.
Ah, yes.
I think it was leading into the Chargers loss, where they set a franchise record of fewest carries in a game against the Saints.
Yeah, that was like seven.
Yeah. Wasn't that Trubisky's like first game back from injury too, or something?
Yeah, because he missed the London game.
Yeah,
didn't go well.
It was coming out of the bye. They went to London. They had that terrible game. They came out of the bye. You're thinking, all right, this is where they regroup, and it was even worse.
I think that's when, I mean, you could point to a lot of times in that 2019 season. That was really the, all right, that's it and that's all. And
that's
then we
and
saw the
all.
I formation the next week against the Chargers. That was fun.
Until the fourth quarter when they had a lead and they said, Mitch, throw the ball, and then he turned the ball over twice and then they lost.
Right.
Ah, memories.
Question two. So last week, it was pretty clear Davante Adams got all the attention from Bears' defensive game plan. Can't really do that this week. So who's the guy that maybe makes you most nervous, someone who Sean Desai should really be focused on? Not necessarily like you have to stop this guy because you can't just pick one, but out of Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Gronk, O.J. Howard. Is there one of those guys you're just a little worried about? He could be the one that if this game's close, he can, you know, he could make the impact play. Or if this is a runaway win for the Bucs, this is the guy that's going to have a huge game.
Go ahead, Johns. I got my answer.
I don't know if there is an answer, but who do you got?
It means it's a great question, by the way.
Yes.
It is a great question. It's a hard thing to answer. But I'll tell you the guy that, when I've been watching the Bucs this year, that has surprised me with how good he looks. It's Antonio Brown.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, he really looks like the old Antonio Brown. He's getting open downfield. He's still got that speed. That's the one that worries me. Because, like, we just continually see these plays with the secondary. It's only like a couple of them every game, but there's like either a busted coverage or a bad missed tackle. And it's just like that speed on the back end right now with Antonio Brown, I think of all of those weapons, and it is concerning. That's the one that would concern me the most.
When you look at the stats of these guys, Mike Evans, 49 targets. Chris Godwin, 46 targets. Antonio Brown, 42 targets. Antonio Brown, the least targeted of the three, leads them all with 83.6 yards per game receiving. This is an awful matchup for the Bears secondary. Awful, awful. Like, Duke Shelley just got benched for Xavier Crawford. Is that, you know, like, it's a mess. And we were just, Kevin, we were just talking about Jalen Johnson being that one bright spot in the secondary. And now you got all these things going on with him this week, right? Like, what's going on? What's going to happen? Just an awful matchups, plural, guys, plural, for the Bears secondary this week. Like, the Bears have to own that line of scrimmage, and if they don't, it's going to be a long day for that secondary.
Yeah, I was thinking Antonio Brown, too. And the other thing about, like, there was a time in, like, this era of Bears defense, I might have said somebody like O.J. Howard or Gronk, but so far they haven't been really killed by tight ends this year. I think, like, Austin Hooper had that easy touchdown in Cleveland, but I feel like it hasn't really been the tight ends that have gotten them. They haven't played that many good ones, but
they did a good job against Hockenson a few weeks ago.
They did. And
Waller.
Yeah, they did a very good job on Waller. Speaking of Bears secondary, you guys know who might be on the trade block because he just got benched in Denver?
Kyle Fuller.
I was just reading our colleague's story on kind of what the Broncos, if they're going to be buyers, if they're going to be sellers, kind of depends on the next two games. And in the if they're sellers category, Kyle Fuller.
You know,
benched after Vic Fangio said he had a bad game against Pittsburgh.
You know, all this talk about the offensive tackle situation and the cornerback situation and, you know, the Jimmy Graham contract stuff is still completely valid no matter how you want to look at it. But I feel like they've upgraded at left tackle and they haven't gotten any worse at corner. Like, the one guy we don't talk about a lot is Kendall Vildor. He's been pretty solid.
It's good that we're not talking about him, right?
That's what I mean. Like, he's gone pretty much unnoticed. Now, if you want to make an argument that maybe the Bears would be better off if they still had Fuller and they could have put Kendall inside, I don't know how he can play that position, but I could listen to that argument that maybe overall they'd be better. But it's a good point by you that it's not actually going so well for Kyle Fuller out there in Denver right now. And it's Bill Belichick who's always the one who's gets rid of players a year early rather than a year late. That's an important thing, actually, in the NFL, and maybe this one qualifies as that.
Let's not forget he also had, like, a 25 million cap hit, 20 million cap hit?
Yeah.
That too.
What else? Go ahead. I'm listening.
All right, question three. There's no such thing as a moral victory in the NFL. So what would you qualify as a moral victory for the Bears on Sunday? Oof.
A good day for Justin Fields.
That's a trick question.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're developing a young quarterback, I don't call them moral victories. Call them, what's a good word here, fellas?
Signs of progress.
Yeah.
Losses.
Signs of progress losses. Okay. I like that. That could work. But that only applies to one person. And maybe some of the guys around him, like Fields. If Fields, like, if he's able to keep up with Tom Brady for like 2.5 quarters, 3 quarters.
Yeah, I'll quantify it even like more specifically. It's what we've been talking about this week, what Matt Nagy's been talking about, what Justin Fields has been talking about. Like, you can't just have one good drive at the beginning of the game, one good drive at the end of the game. It just has to be more consistent across the board. Not going to score every time, but just that consistency. So if you can come out of this game with 4 consistent quarters from your quarterback, there's your moral victory.
And that's going to be tough, too, because if they're trailing by double digits in the fourth quarter and the Bucs are pinning the ears back and the Bears are in pass first mode, like, you know, how does Justin Fields handle that? How do the coaches evaluate it? But I like that. I mean, to me, it's Justin Fields. Then if you want to go a notch below, it's Cole Kmet. It's, you know, you Darnell Mooney. It's these guys who are the future of this team and the guys that you're most, you know, interested in seeing continue to ascend. It's Roquan Smith. Haven't heard Bilal Nichols' name a ton this year. You know, this is a great opportunity for him. He wrecked Tom Brady when the Patriots came here, Nichols' rookie season. That was one of his best games. I think he's played well this year. Where's that splash play? So guys like that, Jalen Johnson, Kendall Vildor. Now you just want to see all those guys make the incremental progress and tip your cap to a team that's just significantly better than you.
Can I give you 2 quick rants here? One has to do with this game and then one doesn't. But I want Kevin in here on this one. All right, so first of all, like, some people think I've been too hard on the Bears' weapons because I've been on this, like, high horse now going back to training camp, how the Bears just don't have
You don't like weapons. Speed. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's also because you're a Packers fan, but continue.
That's true. That's a new development. Even the best man at my wedding says I have a Wisconsin bias, even though he knows I grew up in Chicago because I grew up with him. But, you know, no, the 4 years I spent in Wisconsin going to school there rooting for the Badgers, I clearly have a Packer bias now. Just look at the Bucks. Just look at the Bucks and everything we're talking about here. Okay, and these are all guys they plugged, other than Mike Evans and Godwin. Like, the rest of these dudes are dudes they I guess O.J. Howard too, but I don't even really count him. Like, they brought in all these, Leonard Fournette, Gronk, Antonio Brown, they all came in with Tom Brady. Like, they're not just, the Bucks aren't just sitting there going, oh, we got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. No, add more. What are the Chiefs doing? It's like every week the Chiefs pick up some dude. The Packers are doing it right now on defense. Oh, Whitney Mercilus is available. Let's add him. Jalen Smith, let's add him. Now, the Bears are in a position with the cap where they can't really do that, but that's their own fault. It's just, the Bucs are the prime example where, yes, it's about Tom Brady, but you look at the weapons the Bucs have, and then you try to tell me the Bears have enough weapons? Get out of here.
Yeah.
It's nonsense. No. All right, the other
thing. Scotty Miller, who's not even playing for the Buccaneers because I think he's hurt, would be like a starter for the Bears.
Oh, yeah. He'd be like he'd be right there with Cole Kmet, the hometown hero.
Oh, that's right. Dude. Barrington, right?
Yeah, right? They're like, you know.
Yeah, but then we'd be spending every
hometown
Monday
hometown hero dude.
We'd be spending every Monday asking Matt Nagy, hey, so why isn't Scotty Miller getting the ball?
Right.
Because they wouldn't find a way to incorporate him in the offense. I was actually, it's funny, Ho, because I was answering a question in our mailbag about Damir Bird, and someone's like, what's the point of Damir Bird? And like, I get it, but I also look back, under Matt Nagy, the number four wide receiver on the Bears each year, the most receiving yards a number four guy has had, I think, was Cordarrelle Patterson in 123 receiving yards. So, like,
they look at those numbers John just rattled off. Like, they all have over 40 targets each on the Bucs. Yeah.
Leonard Fournette has 25 catches this year.
It's week. What week is it? Seven?
Seven.
Jesus.
Rant number two.
Yeah, rant number two actually goes back to the Aaron Rodgers owning the Bears thing. Okay. Now, I think I've been very clear on this podcast that I think it's badass what he did, and that's obviously my Packer bias, my Wisconsin bias there. Don't have a problem with it. If the fans are going to flick off the quarterback and he has a right to call out what is absolutely true. But here's my beef. It's actually with the NFL, okay? I don't know if you guys watch the games. You're there. You know, you pay attention. There's literally taunting on every freaking play. Somebody is talking to somebody every play. And then it's so arbitrary when the ref decides to pull the flag. It's such garbage. Like, there was one play the other day where, like, Joel Ea Buniwe was like, they were like basically in a fist fight for like 20 seconds, yeah, yelling at each other, like tapping each other on the helmet and all this. And they're like, oh, let him play. And then like one dude like says hello the wrong way after a play and then the flag. Okay. So if you're going to try to tell me, and isn't it John Mara who's like behind this whole taunting thing? Do I have that correctly? I think it's like one or two of the owners that were like, this is a big problem. We need to fix this. Okay. And now they put in this overreaching nonsense that they do with some rule every year. So you're going to tell me that you cannot taunt an opposing player, but after a touchdown, you can yell obscenities at the crowd? Again, I don't think there's anything wrong with what Aaron Rodgers did. But if you're going to tell me that taunting is a huge problem and we can't have this from our players yelling at it, then it's okay to yell at the fans that are paying to be there? Again, not a problem with what Aaron Rodgers did. It's a problem with what the NFL is trying to say. Like, this is the most hypocritical thing ever. He didn't even get fined for that. I don't think he should be fined. But if you're going to have these taunting rules, then it's okay to yell obscenities at the fans, but you can't say, you know, whatever to the opposing player in the heat of the moment after you made a big play. It's such nonsense.
Yeah. And the hypocrisy continues. You get Tom Brady talking about it, but it's all over NFL Network. It's all over ESPN. It's all over SiriusXM. It has legs. The taunt lives on.
If Mario Edwards Jr. said something cool, it's Aaron Rodgers that got picked up by a mic and went viral, then maybe he wouldn't have gotten in trouble for it. Hey, quick, can I add on to your rant a little bit, Hogue, with just a really quick, not hypocrisy, but just not understanding anything? I tweeted about this during the game. Why in the year 2021 is a personal foul and holding still offsetting penalties?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm with you.
Like, why can't they just say, this is a 15-yard penalty, that's a 10-yard penalty, this team gets 5 yards?
That's what they do in high school. We had that last week. They marked off the holding, although the weird thing about, we actually lost yards because in high school, the holding penalty is from the spot. So, like, a lot of times you end up losing, like, 17 yards on a holding penalty because it happens 7 yards in the backfield. It sucks. But anyway, that's how they did it. They marked off 17 yards backwards for the holding and then 15 yards back for the personal foul, and we ended up losing two. But I'm with you. That's how it should be. I don't know why.
Like, it's weird that, like, Justin Fields could almost get his head taken off. And listen, fans were tweeting at me because obviously they were angry about it and angry about what the Packers are doing. And they're like, all right, well, if the Packers are holding on a play and you see the flag come out, go punch Aaron Rodgers because you won't, like, it'll be offset.
Yeah.
It's wild. So anyways, that's a little mini rant.
Since we're ripping the NFL.
Hello, everyone. This is Al Riveron.
Since we're ripping the NFL for a little bit here, did you see the end zone view of the all 22 of Justin Fields trying to call a timeout and Brad Rodgers? What's his name? It was Rodgers.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Brad Rodgers. He's,
did you see what he did?
Aaron Rodgers' brother.
Did you see his reaction when Fields turned to him with the timeout sign?
No, I didn't notice that.
Watch it. Go watch it. He looks back. He looks at the other back judge and goes, wait, what was that? And he puts his hands up like, what? It's weird. Like, blows your mind.
Did he not know the quarterback's allowed to call a timeout?
Yeah. Watch his reaction when Fields turns to him. He's like, what?
Like, very, he's just odd. Confused at what that...
Yeah. Confused. Maybe Fields has to be a bit louder, but he literally puts up his hand like, what? What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Very odd reaction.
Maybe
from
grant
the
me the timeout, sir, that I asked for.
And Fields directly walks to him right after the delay of game penalty. Just odd. Odd sequence there.
Yeah, and then I think you almost heard him on the mic say, no. Like,
no timeout.
Like, as he was about to call the penalty, he was like, no. No, like, he shook him off. Like,
hello, everyone. This is Al Riveron.
Al's not even there anymore, but I'm going to continue to blame everything on him.
All right. Bye, Al.
Well, Kevin, I'm going to make you stick around for predictions.
Bold predictions.
I think we're all picking the Bears to win, obviously, right? Bears.
I'm going
to
go with, I'm going to continue my bold prediction from last week. Cole Kmet scores a touchdown.
One of these weeks, you'll be right.
Scores.
Do you guys
touchdown.
Know that the only time since 1980 the Bears won as at least 12-point underdogs was 1999. Whew. Shane Matthews led them to a win over the Vikings in Minnesota. They are 1-15 in such games.
What a franchise! Hey, I'm counting my bold prediction from last week. Because I said Justin Fields would throw the ball 25 times.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think we kind of were like, well, maybe 30, but we'll split the difference. He threw the ball 27 times, so it counts.
What do you got this week?
Well, I don't know. I could be like you and just be like, well, let's double it down. Same thing. At least mine was correct. Well, I think he will throw the ball 30 times this week. I think he'll have to. How about this? I'll say he accounts for 3 touchdowns, Justin Fields, in this game.
Oh, let me just hear your prediction then.
So, yeah. This is a little preview to my prediction, which this week I'll make sure it lines up with my bold prediction unlike most weeks. So, yeah, 3 touchdowns for Justin Fields, whether that's rushing, throwing, maybe he'll kick a field goal. I don't know.
Why not?
Oh, is it my turn?
Yes.
You are still present on the podcast.
Let's go the other way. How about the Bears fail to rush for 60 yards?
Ooh. Okay. For 60?
60.
I don't know if that guy, okay, bold enough.
Sure. John said that Khalil Herbert was going to run for 75 yards.
Not exactly too bold.
I almost find his that bolder than not getting a 60, considering what the Bucks have done.
All right.
I got Justin, two bold prediction for this one then.
How about Justin Fields throws for 300 yards?
Woo!
That's just crazy.
Let's get wild.
Scores.
And the Bears failed to score three touchdowns.
Scores. I'm going to go 31-20 Buccaneers. Bears cover. 12.5 is a lot of points. I think they can cover, but they can't keep up. They can't hit 30 points. They'll be lucky if they hit 20. I'll give it to them because the Buccaneers have some issues in their secondary with all the injuries. 31-20 home team.
My score is similar, although I do have the Bucs covering the 12.5 just barely. I'm going to say Bucs 34, Bears 21.
I'll go Bucs 36, Bears 16.
Ooh. Yeah. We'll I can see that happening.
Three field goals for Cairo and Justin Fields to Cole Kmet touchdown for Johnsy.
I'll take it. All right. Do you want to stick around for the rest of our predictions? Or you
sure. I got nowhere to be.
You don't have to run the Chris Tabor special teams meeting?
No.
I do. All right.
Rapid fire.
Let's run through these. Ooh, John's only put four in here.
Yeah, it's a bad slate.
Yeah,
a lot of big spreads this week.
Really bad slate. Bad slate of college football, too.
All right, let's start with my hometown Green Bay Packers.
F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
Noon on Fox. Washington headed to Green Bay, my hometown that I love so much. The Packers are 7.5-point favorites. Who you got?
Packers by 10.
That's come down from 9.5, and I don't know why. I'll say Packers by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, because, I mean, Washington's got a good defense.
Do they?
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. Not watching Washington film every week, if we're being honest. Just the Packers over and over again. I have to pick the Packers.
Go Bears.
All right. Next up, CBS Noon. Oh, by the way, you know who's calling the Bears game this week?
Just the tip there, Jim.
Yeah, it wasn't enough.
The A-team.
Yeah, Jim Nance and Tony Romo. I don't know why CBS wanted this game so badly, but they did. It's
Hello,
in their
friends.
late afternoon slate.
But what other game would they take?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's not a lot of good ones.
There's not a lot of good ones, I guess.
Justin Fields.
I was listening to a rival podcast that the bit or the thing of the podcast is they guessed the lines. It's been around for a while. And they were.
You're allowed to say Bill Simmons' name on this.
Well, I don't want to send listeners to his podcast. I mean, I'm pretty sure if you look at the iTunes rankings, it's Bill Simmons and Hogan Johns like vying for number one. So I got to be careful here.
In certain
Anyways,
markets,
they
we
were
direct
ranking
competitors. Yeah,
they were ranking the games of the week, and it was like after Ravens Bengals, they go Bears Bucks, probably the next most interesting game
with a 12.5-point spread. All right. Well, I guess that's why CBS wanted the game. Fair enough. All right, also on CBS Noon, it's the Chiefs at Titans. Like, this is a better game. The Titans just beat the Bills. This is a good game. Chiefs at Titans. Titans are 5.5-point home dog. Who you got?
I'm taking the Titans and the points.
Yeah,
the
give
Chiefs
me
defense is bad.
Yeah, Titans to cover. Derrick Henry runs for 200.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, that guy is just a beast. I do not understand how he runs that fast when he's that big.
I forget which former player tweeted this, but he is the player when you're a kid on Madden. Like, he's who you create, like that giant running back.
Oh, yeah. That's completely unfair. That's a great comment.
Which former receiver tweeted that? But he is. I'm like, that's who you create. Like, that big guy just runs everybody over. He really exists. He plays for the Titans.
Was it Tanner Gentry?
It was not Tanner Gentry.
Just want to throw out Tanner Gentry's name.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Also on CBS at noon, Bengals at Ravens. Bengals are kind of...
I haven't heard that one in a while. Yeah.
never forget.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Ravens are 6.5-point home favorite, looking pretty good all of a sudden. Blowing out the Chargers. Now they get Joe Burrow as Cincinnati comes to Baltimore. You know what? I like the Bengals here. I don't know why. I think a little bit of a letdown from the Ravens after last week's performance. I think the Ravens win, but maybe a backdoor type cover or something.
Yeah, I'm with you. Are the Bengals really good? I mean, the Bears beat the Bengals almost pretty handily until the little comeback at the end. I'm not sure. I'm skeptical about their success. But they could take the points and cover.
Yeah, I'll take the Bengals. Jamar Chase is fun. Good player.
Yes. Yes. Very happy I drafted him in my fantasy league. That is paying off, since I know you guys care about that one.
Chris, Matt Nagy has always been kind of the past half-full kind of guy.
Fox, 305. What's going on in somebody's house right now?
It's mine. I got one of those, what's the robot vacuum that goes around the house.
You got the shark going right now?
Roomba?
Yeah, the Roomba, yeah. It was off, just turned back on. It's going to work in the room right next to me.
Yeah. If Johns gets murdered by a robot today, now we know it's happening as they continue to take over the world. All right, this is Fox 305. The Detroit Lions going to Los Angeles. The Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford. You know, it says something that, like, this big train of the offseason is getting buried in the late afternoon, like the weak late afternoon spot.
Double Matthew revenge game.
Yeah, I don't know. Rams are favored by 15. They're going to kill them.
Yeah. This isn't even the biggest spread of the weekend.
I know.
I think the Cardinals are favored by like 17.5 points against the Texans. Give me the Lions to cover. I don't know. Maybe Jared Goff goes crazy and he has a comeback that doesn't get too close, but enough to cover the 15.
I keep thinking the Lions are plucky. I think it's just because of what they did in the fourth quarter of week one against the 49ers.
Yeah.
And maybe they're not that plucky. I don't know.
Well,
I guess they almost beat the Ravens.
Dan Campbell just called Jared Goff out for being bad. That was weird.
Who's the Lions' backup quarterback anyways?
The Lions' backup quarterback?
Yeah. Like, people are wondering if Goff is going to get benched.
That's a good question. I don't even know. Should know.
Maybe they should have drafted Justin Fields.
Yeah, which is... I honestly thought they were still going to draft a quarterback after they made that trade.
David Blau.
Oh, yeah.
Bears killer.
Is he? Mitch Trubisky.
Well, he had that touchdown the first play of the game.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a fun football game. This Roomba is getting closer to me.
Well, maybe don't have it go off in the middle of the podcast.
It was off. Turned on by itself.
I'm going to take the Rams to cover. You know, I was going to take the Bucs as my survivor pick this week against the Bears, but the more you look at it, it's like, why would you waste the Bucs? When you have, there's so many big spreads. It's getting out of hand here in the NFL. Dan Campbell was one of two head coaches this week that just decided to drive a bus over his quarterback. Brett Bielema was the other one. Did you guys see what
Bielema
he said?
Drove a bus over half his team.
His whole team. He's like, yeah, Lovie Smith. By the way, he's not wrong. Lovie Smith didn't recruit anybody the last couple of years. Lovie's like, I'm just going to chill in Tampa. Why would I be in Champaign? I got a place in Chicago. Like, what?
Yeah, he's not wrong, but you don't say it.
Yeah, I know. I was like,
this guy's going to play for you on Saturday, man.
Jonathan Jones on Twitter was like, did Bielema just black out and not realize he was in front of a hot mic for a second? Like, he, again, not wrong. Type of thing you might say, you know, behind closed doors.
I'm sure he said it a lot, yeah.
Yeah, but like, it's like he forgot he was in the middle of a press conference. Oh, well. You know, I guess it happens. We should get out of here. Bears, Bucks. We'll talk to you from Tampa. I like going to Tampa. How's the weather going to be? I don't even know. It's going to be nice.
It's 85 and sunny right now.
Means it'll be pouring rain by the afternoon. Probably.
Probably.
All right. Adam Johns, Kevin Fishbane. Follow them on Twitter at Adam Johns, at K Fishbane. Read their work on The Athletic, theathletic.com/HoganJohns. You can read me on NBCSportsChicago.com. Follow me at Adam Hogue. Please check out our YouTube channel. Subscribe, Hogan Johns on YouTube. Really easy to do. Check us out there. Shirts are up on obviousshirts.com. And I'll see you boys over in Hall's Hall. How about that?
See you there. And see ya.
That was the weirdest goodbye ever.
Keep that in.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.